Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. And what a blessing it is just to have the church to come to that meet on Wednesday night. And we meet to have a service. We meet to be an encouragement one to another, to be blessed by the music, and also to study and to hear the Word of God being preached. And what a blessing it is. Not only do we do that on Sunday, but we do it on Wednesday night as well. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you look with me to the book of Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, we've been in a study on the life of the Apostle Simon Peter. The Apostle Simon Peter. And we looked first of all at Simon's conversion and the mission field that we find Andrew, Simon's brother, had. That was his Jerusalem, his family, and we all have that Jerusalem. We have people that we can reach and no one else is possibly going to be able to reach, and we need to do that. And so we find that after that, 2 months later, Simon was back in his occupation. He was fishing, and we find that Jesus went to Simon's place of employment and got on his ship. He preached a message, and then he told Simon to let down the nets, and they had a huge catch of fish, possibly a record number of fish caught. And we find that was leading into Peter's call to service. And what a blessing it was to understand that God has a call for every believer's life to serve Him. And we need to answer the call. And that was a blessing. Well, now here we're looking at Matthew's account of the call of Simon Peter. And we find it's a little bit different, and that will bring our next message tonight in the life of Simon Peter. So if you go ahead and stand with me, we're going to be reading Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 down to verse 20. The Bible says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him." And let's pray. Father, as we bow before you again, we thank you for opportunity to be in church on this midweek. And I just thank you for each one that's here that took advantage of their opportunity to be in church. And God, I pray for each one of us that you would just help us to sense your presence and to be open to what you have for us and that spiritual food that would strengthen us and better equip us to be the servants of our God that you would have us to be. Now work in our midst tonight and empower the teaching and the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. So we find in the Gospels, we have four Gospel writers that give us the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. In each one of the Gospels, you're going to find things that are not in the other Gospels. And you're going to find that each one might present things a little bit different. And not that it was different, but they were viewed differently. And God had a message for us from four individuals that walked with Jesus Christ to give us an accurate account of the life of Christ. Now, if you could pick four people that would write a book on your life, I guarantee you, even though you might want to pick the four people who loves you the most, and that would be most favorable of you in your life, I guarantee you that there would be some things that they would see differently. And if you would read them, you would think, wow, wait a minute. And so the same thing is true when it comes to the Gospels. The Lord had chosen four to write about the life of Jesus Christ. And we've had that for some 2,000 years now, and that will never change. It is for us throughout this New Testament church age for us to learn of the life of Jesus Christ. Now, Sunday nights, We're in a series, and we'll be teaching on the teachings of Christ, preaching on the teachings of Christ. But here we are on the life of the Apostle Simon Peter. And so now Simon was called to service. We studied that, but Matthew focuses. He doesn't tell about how that Jesus got on Simon's boat, doesn't tell us about how that he told them to let down the nets. He just records that as saying that they were fishing, casting net into the sea, and they were fishers. Okay, so his emphasis is not going to be on the catching of the fish. It's not going to be on Jesus preaching a message from Simon's boat. It's going to be on verse 19. His focus in this account of the life of Christ, as God led Matthew to write, would be, as they come upon them, Jesus saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, I love that because everyone's call to service, and we studied that last week. All of us are called to serve in some capacity. Every one of us are equipped by God to be able to accomplish certain things. But everyone's call to service will include and be centered around fishing for men. Now, we know that phrase, fishing for men, or make you fishers of men, is seeing souls saved. Taking the gospel that God has entrusted us with and presenting that to a lost and dying world, a people that are living in darkness, to help them to come to the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, to have an opportunity to personally make a decision on what they will do with Jesus Christ. Those that believe in him and call upon him to be their Savior, it will change their lives for the better. It will give them more purpose for living. It will give them a great, great peace, a peace that passes all understanding, and knowing that no matter what would happen after that point in time when they receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, no matter what would happen, and the very worst, if they were to die, to lose their life, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. That's the greatest peace anybody can have, is knowing that when I die, I'm going to glory. I'm going to a place of heaven. And what a blessing that is. God wants all to receive that blessing. And so everyone's call to service will include and be centered around, it will have something to do with seeing souls saved. Amen. There's more people on this earth today than ever before. I don't know what kind of population the world will have, this earth will have, when the rapture takes place, when the tribulation period comes to an end, even after the 1,000-year millennial reign and that God destroys the earth. I don't know what kind of population. I believe God does. And as a population is growing on planet Earth, there's even a greater need for those who know Christ as their Savior to reach those that don't. I wonder how we're doing in America. Do you think there's percentage-wise more saved than lost this year from last year? I guarantee you there's not. I think we're losing the battle when it comes to the discrepancy between light and darkness, between those being saved and those being lost, between those living in the light and those living in darkness. And this is a Christian nation. Hmm. The main thing for God's people, the main thing for God's church, the main thing is being fishers of men. Everyone's call is a little different, but our service will include and be centered around fishing for men. In verse 19, the first thing I want to look at here, and understanding that to be true, it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We find here the first thing that I want to present to you, found in what Matthew is emphasizing here. And he saith unto them, he's focused on Christ walking by. He didn't go into all the details, but he's focused on Jesus and what Jesus said to these disciples who would be his apostles. And the first thing he says is, follow me. Now, Peter was already saved. This is about 2 months before. We studied that last week. Before Peter's call to service would be about 2 months after Peter's confession of Jesus Christ and when he was looked at as being saved. And now we find 2 months later, Jesus walks by and he says, follow me. Every saved individual is called to follow Christ. If you have come to that place, and can I tell you that if you have got to the place where you believe in Jesus Christ and you called upon the name of the Lord and you know that you're saved, you're in the minority. Even in this Christian nation, you're in the minority. But you have come to the right conclusion. And you have received something that is special, something that is a gift, something that includes so much. It's life-changing. Amen. And if you've been saved, then Jesus, what he wants you to do, and the first thing that it is that we are to do is we are called to follow him. It's what a Christian should be, Christ-like. See, Jesus' work on earth was centered around seeing souls saved. I don't think there's any question. If you study the Bible, if you study what God has recorded concerning the life of Jesus Christ, I think Luke says it best in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, when he says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. His whole life, his whole appearance on earth, everything about what we know about Jesus Christ, everything that's been recorded in the scriptures, and in the even history books about the life of Christ, it's about seeing souls saved. As we look to Jesus and follow his lead, I tell people the first thing you want to do is when you get saved is you have to realize that you become a Christian. A Christian is somebody who is Christ-like. If you're going to be Christ-like, you have to know what Christ was like. And so the first thing that you want to do is understand the life of Christ. And we have the four Gospels that reveal to us the actual life of Christ, how he walked on the face of this earth. His teachings on our Sunday night series is something that all of us ought to be excited about, even learning more and more about what he actually taught while he walked on the earth. It's been recorded for us to understand that and apply that to our lives. And I love the Bible, and I think we ought to understand all the Bible, but there is nothing any more important for us to learn from the scriptures above the four Gospels. That ought to be our Bible reading every year. We ought to go through the Gospels at least once a year and sometimes go back through it. And if you're struggling with your Christian life, continue to just stay in the Gospels and go over them time and time again until you have this focus of Christ in your heart and in your mind. Because that's where the blessings are going to come. Because that is first and foremost the will of God, that you follow Him. Amen. Stop looking to follow somebody else that's going to let you down. And praise God for the influence of other godly individuals. But we need to follow Christ. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, I think very clearly this is something that we need to do. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, let me read to you verse 1 and 2. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," talking about everything about the Old Testament, every Old Testament saint, everything that's recorded in the Old Testament, we have that as a witness. But it says, "Then let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us." There's hindrances to following Christ. And you, all of us have a sin that so easily besets us, and that sin will be used to keep us from following Christ. So we have to set those things apart. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, the call to service. Everyone is called to service. That's your individual race. That's what you focus on, the race that you're in, the track that God puts you on. To serve Him. And in doing that, in verse 2 he says, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that's going to strengthen your faith. It's in Christ that we have faith. It's in Christ that we are able to have the faith to move mountains, if that's God's call upon our lives. We can do whatever it is that God would have us to do if we have the faith in Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. But looking unto Jesus and following his lead. As we look unto Jesus and follow his lead, we will serve him. We will understand that he's put us on a track, which is our race, which is our call to service. Whether it's a track of full-time ministry, like myself as a pastor of this church, Brother Andy, Brother Aaron, Brother Rusty, Brother Jagger, Brother all the different staff, the full-time staff, and their wives. There's no way the staff men could do what God's called us to do if we did not have the support of our wives. And that's God's call. That's God's plan of service for those. And every deacon that we have in this church, the 10 deacons that we have here, it is God's race that he's given you to run. It is God's call to service. He's placed you on that track. Whether you're a trustee in the church and a deacon's wife or a trustee's wife, then as serving as a trustee in the church, then that is part of the race that you have to run. That is part of the service you have to God. If you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're in the choir, if you're just a church, and not just a, every church member has an important position in serving Christ. If we look to him and follow his lead, we will run that race. And every one of those things I just mentioned is part of this church being a light in Indianapolis. Every time we have the church doors open, it gives people an opportunity to come through those doors and hear the word of God being preached. And experience an assembly of believers. Praise God for that. As we assemble ourselves together, yes, it's something, it's a place of refuge for the membership of this church. And I pray as we pray together every Wednesday night for the membership. But we also pray for anyone and everyone that would come through the doors of this church, that they would find this to be a place of refuge. They would find this to be a light that could help them along their journey of life. And the most important thing along their journey of life is to find Christ and to receive the gift of everlasting life. So the church is vitally important. And it has been since Christ established it 2,000 years ago. It's even more important today because there's more darkness in the world. There's more lost in the world. And yet we're losing a lot of those churches. Following him will produce a desire to see souls saved and discipled. That's the heart of God. That's the heart of Christ. And if I'm following him, that will become my heart. But listen, if we stop following Jesus, we'll stop serving him. Even though we still might hold the same position. We stop following him, the first sign will you'll lose your desire to see souls saved and discipled. You'll lose sight of evangelism. How many churches do you know about that have lost their evangelism? Where they have lost their desire to reach the lost, to bring them in. To build them up, to send them out, to bring them in, to build them up, to send them out, to bring them in, to build. That's the work of the church. We're losing that because we still have so-called churches, and we still have so-called pastors, we still have so-called full-time ministers, preachers and teachers and whatever it have been. We still have deacons, and we still have trustees, and we still have people attending church, but they have lost their zeal for evangelism because they're not following Christ. They get more caught up in church than they do in following Christ. And church becomes a club for members only. And they stay focused on how much fun they can have and what kind of activities they can have and how many bake sales and how many this and how many that. But they've lost sight of the heartbeat of God to reach the lost, not only in Indianapolis and Indiana and the United States of America, but all around the world. Yeah. Follow me. Follow me. I dare say, praise the Lord, for I would guess in this auditorium, maybe 99%, I would want to think that, are here because you're following Christ. Amen. You're here because the church doors are open. And you're a member of this church and you are following Christ by not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. By assembling to worship him, to praise him. It's God's plan. It's God's design. And you're following him. You're a member of the Lighthouse Baptist Church because you're following Christ. And he planted you here. Amen. Yeah. Go back with me, our text here, Matthew chapter 4. This is what Matthew is focused on in his account of writing about Christ, writing about Jesus. And Jesus said, follow me. And I will make you. So I am following Christ, focused on him. And what's he going to do concerning his call to my life? I will make you. What a statement. As they follow him, they knew their call. They knew that they had received him as their Savior. But now Jesus assures them, as you follow me, I will make you. He assures them that he would equip them to fulfill his call. When you get saved, you just put your eyes on Jesus and want to be more Christ-like. That's the first step of your call. And then allow him to work in our lives to make us. Make us. Can I tell you that we're insufficient of ourselves? It's one of the first things that we have to understand. One of the first things, one of the reasons I was running from pastoring and running from full-time, the call to ministry. I can't do that. I am not somebody that likes to be in public view of anybody. I am not an outgoing individual, really not. Most of the time, I talk to my wife, I could be content just me and me. Yeah. I never have been. I had 12 others, six brothers and six sisters. I wanted a room by myself, not because I didn't want to be around the other 12. I'll take the attic. Just give me a room to myself. You can have that. You can have, just put me a fan in that room and I'm happy. Yeah. It wasn't of myself. I'm not a natural born preacher. I'm not a natural born leader. That's not me. But God's call upon my life as I follow him, he's made me. He's made me what he wanted me to be. I've no credit of my own. I just follow. And as I put my eyes on him and follow him, he brings the things into my life. He has directed me. He has equipped me. Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians in chapter 3. Verse 5 and 6. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. The Apostle Paul, writing to the believers in Corinth. Paul thinks himself not to be sufficient. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. He made us. I guarantee you what Paul focused on as the other disciples, just to follow him. And then as they followed him, they would be made. I will make you. John 15 and 5, Jesus told them, without me you can do nothing. Without me you can do nothing. Ephesians in chapter 4, look over there with me. Don't let serving God, reaching the lost, frighten you. Don't let being a witness, opening your mouth and telling somebody what Jesus did for you, don't let that scare you. He will make you if you'll follow him. Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. I'm insufficient of myself, but Paul would write, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So I'm looking to Christ, I'm following him. He has promised that he's made a statement, I will make you. God equips us according to his call. It includes grace and gifts and opportunities. Romans chapter 12, Romans in chapter 12. And if I go too fast, just write them down and go back. You can study them later. But Romans in chapter 12, Romans and Ephesians reveal more of the gifts that God has for us, spiritual gifts. In Romans in chapter 12 and verse 3, the Bible says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, all the gifts are by grace. It's because of God's grace that you have the gifts, the spiritual gifts that you have. And is God equipping us? For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly, you're insufficient of yourself, than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. As we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. To be able to fulfill whatever calling God has upon your life. So we have God's grace that leads to God's gifts. But then something that we have no control over either is opportunities. For me to get to where I'm at today, I've just continued to follow him and go through every door of opportunity that he made available. Who determines what size of church pastors have? Some say, well, it's determined by your abilities. And I say, hogwash. That's not true. It's determined by God and the opportunities that he brings to you. I know of men that could out-preach me and better pastors than I am for sure, and that preach to 25 people a week. Well, God hasn't blessed you. It's God's call upon their lives. What makes a difference? Opportunities, and only God knows why he opens up opportunities. And we started out in the storefront. God just continued to open doors of opportunity that would bring in more people and more souls that needed saved, and more saved that needed discipled. Wow. It's opportunities. No matter how good a fisherman you are, if you go to a pond where there's no fish, you are not going to catch fish. I've seen I get tickled out. I mean, they just have a development, and they have a drainage pond. That's all it is. It's just a drainage pond. And you see people out there fishing in a drainage pond that was not there 6 months ago. Can I tell you, there's no fish there.
You're going through the motions and you're trying to, no matter how good of a fisherman you are, if you go somewhere where there are no fish, you're not going to catch fish. If you go to a town that is somewhat isolated and there's only 100 people in that town, you're not going to run a church of 300. They're not around. No matter how powerful of a preacher you might be, you're limited to the opportunities that God presents. And that's Sunday school class, bus ministry. Yeah. I'll make you stay focused on following. Let God take care of the opportunities and the equipping. The last thing, and we're done here, but look back with me to our text, because that's what he's focused on here, and it's needed. Follow me. I will make you fishers of men. And then verse 20. And they straightway left their nets. They left their nets. You have to be willing to pay a price for service. There's a lot of rewards, but you have to be willing to sacrifice, which I believe could be the key to opportunities presented. In Luke's account, in chapter 5, verse 11, it says they forsook all. That means that they put him first. In Peter's life, it came right after a record catch of fish, when the temptation would have been the greatest to remain a fisherman. He walked away from it. I mention every now and then what I thought would have been my career and the money that I was making and all the things that I had before I got married. My goodness, had my own house, purchased my own house, had a brand new Audi, which was my luxury car. I had a Camaro that I beefed up, which was my fast car. I had a brand new motorcycle, had more money. I don't say that in bragging. I say that in saying, I don't feel like I sacrificed anything. God has given me more than what I ever could have sacrificed for him. I tried to talk him out of it simply just because I was not one who liked to be in the public view. I didn't want to stand up and be the one speaking. I tease a lot about the balcony in the back pew, but if I wasn't pastor, I'd probably be in the back pew or back in the balcony. I'm just saying. I'll put everybody in front of me. I don't want to people looking at me. But I walked away from all that. I did take a fraction of the money I was making to take on the salary of a youth pastor. But I never have regretted it. Because I was even became more dependent upon God bringing in what I needed to pay the bills and to make ends meet. And through that, my faith grew. Yeah. Peter didn't surrender to God's call because he was a failure or they couldn't do anything else. I have a question mark sometimes. People who say, well, the last thing, if I can't do anything else, I guess I'll go to the mission field or I'll go to be a pastor. It's because he placed God first in his life. And he did what Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The greater the sacrifice, the greater faith required. The greater faith, the more that can be done in accomplishing the cause of Christ. It takes faith. Peter will be an excellent example and testimony of someone who followed Christ and allowed Christ to make him after he would sacrifice and choose to walk away from his past to be all that God wanted him to be. All of us, in some form or other, can walk the same steps of Peter. And accomplish much for the cause of Christ. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. The emphasis, follow me. Look to me. Stop looking to religion. Stop looking to other people. Stop looking around you. Look up to Christ. As long as you stay focused on him, he will make you. He will equip you. He will open up doors of opportunity for you to accomplish what he has for each and every one of us to accomplish. I'm not going to have a musical invitation right now, but this is an invitation time. I've preached the message I believe God wanted me to preach and teach tonight on the life of Peter and how God has used that to prick your heart, speak to you. It's between you and God. But if God has spoke to you, acknowledge it. Either where you're sitting in the pew or come to this altar. If you want something that you want to make sure that you don't go back on, bring it to the altar. If need be, make a public profession of it. Be committed to it. Invitation. Invitation. Father, we bow before you. I love you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege it is to be in church. Thank you for the privilege that you've given to us to have your word, to be able to hear the Bible preached, receive that spiritual help that you have for us. I pray for each one that's here tonight that you would strengthen them through the word that they've heard. And God, I pray if there's anyone here that does not know you as Savior, that they would not leave this auditorium without getting that taken care of. Anybody here that's running from a call that you have on their life, I pray, God, that they would stop running and start yielding even tonight. Watch over us now. Get us home safely. Bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name.